Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
What's up? Hello, everybody. So hello, internet audience. Anybody watching on Facebook, let us know where you're watching from. We always like to hear where everybody's from. And we do a Bible study, an online Facebook Bible study on Thursday mornings. And it's so crazy how, you know, social media can be used for the good, and how even though we're here in Bakersfield, we have people literally from all around the world that are tuning in, that are watching, that are a part of the ministry that God is doing at VBF. Isn't that cool? So hello to everybody watching online. And I don't know if you guys can see this. I don't know if the cameras can zoom in. You guys in the front row, you can see this. Yeah. These are yellow and black socks that say Striper on it. How many remember the rock band Striper from the 80s? All right. So here's something that I'm super excited about, that if you were into Christian music in the 80s, you remember two bands. At least I do. Striper, they were the first Christian hair band, all right? And then Petra. How many remember Petra? All right? Okay, so those two bands, they're coming together to do a concert a week from Friday at some place here. I have never been there, called Club 1933. Have you guys been there? So on Friday, the lead singer from Petra, John Schlitt, and the lead singer from Striper, Michael Sweet, are going to be doing a duo concert over at the 1933. So I'm going to be there. How many of you Christian classic rockers out there are going to join me? All right? Three of us. All right. So it'll be an intimate evening with Striper and Petra. All right. But thank you for the compliments of the socks. It's going to make me preach really well tonight. How many of you need a word from God tonight? All right. Everybody should raise their hand, right? So here's what I know, and this is what I was feeling even while John was praying, while we were worshiping, is that there's some people here that are just really running on empty, and you barely got here. But you've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating, that showing up is half the battle. That you got here. Would you just high five your neighbor and say, I'm so glad you came, all right? Because here's the other part of this, church. That showing up's half the battle, that means that you're already halfway to your victory. Come on. You're already there. So tonight, I believe, especially for those of you that were really fighting on whether or not to come, that it's those nights or those days that you struggle on whether or not you should go to church, that God is probably looking to speak to you more than any other service. And so just know that God has something special for you tonight. We have a couple photographers. I just want to give a shout out because they're helping us with our new Thousand Oaks campus. You guys are going to be Thousand Oaks famous because we're taking your pictures tonight. And so be looking for Janelle. Be looking for German. They're going to be taking some pictures, and we're using them for some promotions down for our Thousand Oaks new campus. And we're pretty excited about it. I know Pastor Tom already prayed. We've been talking for the last couple of Wednesdays about being selfless. And we've discovered that we have a little obsession these days with ourselves. And that it seems like more and more attention is being put on ourselves. And what God's word declares to us, if we really want to experience the life that God wants us to experience, it's going to be found in not thinking about ourselves more, but it's going to be found in thinking of ourselves less. And so we're going to get into this idea of being a servant of God tonight. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in a couple of different places. But I want to start off by reading something that I found very interesting in 2 Timothy. If you want to turn there, 2 Timothy. This is the last known letter that Paul, the apostle, writes that we have recorded before he is martyred, before he is killed because of his faith in Jesus. And in this letter that he's writing to Timothy, who is like his apprentice, he's discipling Timothy. He's going to be the next leader. So Paul's wanting to really invest in Timothy very intentionally. And he writes this, and I found this very interesting because he's got insight. He says, you must understand this. In the last days, there will be violent periods of time. People will be what, church? Selfish. They'll be selfish, and they'll love money. They will brag, be arrogant, use abusive language. They will curse their parents, show no gratitude, have no respect for what is holy, and lack normal affection for their families. Next verse. If they have, they will refuse to make peace with anyone. They will be slanderous, lack self-control, be brutal, have no love for what is good. They will be traitors. They will be reckless and conceited. They will love pleasure rather than God. They will appear to have a godly life, but they will not let its power change them. Now, as we just read that, doesn't it sound a lot like our culture now? When I was just reading that, I mean, you would just say, like, that is describing America. That is, like, that is our time. And here is what we need to understand. We're living in the last days. So just know that. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I don't know when the earth is going to end. But all the signs are pointing to things coming to an end. But while things are coming to an end, there are going to be signs in the midst of this to kind of let people know. And one of the biggest signs is there is going to be an obsession, a love affair with self. Now, it's not bad to love yourself. Matter of fact, Jesus even told us and repeated the great commandment from the Old Testament, which is love your neighbor as yourself, implying that everybody loves themselves. The problem is not when you love yourself, it's when you love only yourself. It's when you love yourself to the point where you're ignoring other people. And I don't know where you're at, and you can go maybe do your own test online. There's all kinds of tests out there to find out how self-absorbed you really are. And some of you, I told you guys, this is the tricky part about being self-centered is that you can't really see it clearly on yourself, but you can see it really clearly on somebody else. You can see, that person is self-centered, they're a narcissist or whatever, but we tend to not see it in ourselves. But what you need to understand is that all of us are a little bit concerned with ourselves. I mean, when's the last time you saw a group picture and you looked at it, knowing that you were in the group somewhere, and you just looked at it and were like, oh, that's cool. Somebody hands you the phone, hey, look at this group picture that we took, and you know you're in it. What do? You get the phone, and what do? You zoom in to your friend? No. You zoom in to you. Why? Because you got to make sure you look good. You gotta make sure, and then, if you don't look good, what do? You hit delete, and like, oh, we gotta take that again. Like, I'm not approving. Or you do that, you can't put this on social media, right? My kids do that all the time. I'm like, let me take your picture. They look at it like, dad, this is not going on your Instagram. I'm like, come on, you look awesome. But we do that. If you're in a room, you can hear somebody say your name from across the room. Why? Because we're tuned into the salesmen know this, and that's why the first thing they ask you is, what is your name? Because they know the human tendency is we love to hear our name said. I don't know why. It's just that nature that is inside of us. But what happens is, and as this, thing is winding down, we become more obsessed with self. But as we get more obsessed with self, the less satisfied we become with life. We are at an all-time high as a culture for depression. Now, I don't want to get into depression a whole lot tonight, because there are all kinds of reasons why we're depressed. There could be chemical reasons, medical reasons, spiritual reasons, emotional reasons. But let me pose this question, or I shouldn't say pose this, I should say pose this theory to you, that a lot of us are really down because we're so focused on ourselves when God has wired us to be focused on other people. And so if you want to kind of snap yourself out of the moly grubs, as I like to call them, then it's going to be found in you thinking of yourself less and serving other people more. So tonight's message is called Serve More. And in Luke chapter 22, what's happening is there's a debate going on with the disciples. So Jesus is in their midst, and he's hanging out with his closest amigos, and there's this debate, like, who's the greatest out of all of them? And, you know, it's like, who's the GOAT? You guys heard of the GOAT, right? The greatest of all time, which is Michael Jordan, not LeBron James, I'm sorry. It is Tom Brady, not Joe Montana, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, come on. Look at the rings, baby. All right. But they had this debate going on. The disciples had this debate going, hey, like, I'm Jesus's favorite. I'm the best. You know, John's like, hey, I know Jesus loves me more than he loves all y'all. Like, I'm the beloved. I'm the one he loves. As a matter of fact, I'm going to write this letter in the Bible, and I'm going to say, and the disciple whom Jesus loved. Everything about it, John wrote that. And Peter's like, wait a minute, John. I just see you get out of the boat and walk on water, buddy. Like, take that. And the other guys are like, yeah, but you only took 3 steps and you started to drown, bro. And Bartholomew's over there going, hey, man, I'm the greatest. And Peter and John and all the rest of the guys are like, nobody's going to even know you're a disciple. You know, like, you know, people are going to forget you. But they're having this debate, and it's going on, and Jesus, right in the middle of this debate, and we can read this in Luke chapter 22. It says, and then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. And Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Now, what the Gospel of John records is that as they're at this dinner table, Jesus gets up and he takes his towel and he begins going around the dinner table and grabbing the disciples' feet, and he begins to try to wash their feet. And Peter, like, jumps up and is like, no way am I going to let you wash my feet. And just to put it in context, because, you know, when you visit somebody's house these days, normally you don't have somebody say, hey, you know, can I take your coat? You want a drink of water? Can I wash your feet? You know, give you a pedicure? We'd be like, what? Like, no, you don't even want to see my feet, man. That'd be weird for us. But in that culture, I mean, you're talking, one of the ways that you would honor anybody coming to your home would be to wash their feet, because, you know, they didn't have tennis shoes. They didn't have striper socks, man. They were rocking sandals, and their feet were dirty because their main mode of transportation was on foot. And so their feet were dirty. And so the people that were hosting the party would send in, like, the new guy. He was the lowest guy in the totem pole. And his, you would start off, your initial job would be the foot washer, and you'd go in there and you'd wash feet and work your way up the ranks. So Jesus, when he gets the towel and he stoops down and he starts to try to wash the feet of the disciples, there was an immediate pushback, because they knew, as much as they wanted to become the greatest of all of the other disciples, they knew the greatest in that room were none of them. It was Jesus. And they knew that there was no dispute on the GOAT in that room. The greatest in that room was Jesus. They understood he was the Son of God. They understood that Jesus was the Messiah. He was God in the flesh. And so Peter, rejecting this, starts this conversation with Jesus. And Jesus said, look at Peter, if you want to be a part of my kingdom, you've got to let me do this. You won't have any part of my kingdom unless you really understand this principle. And then at that point, Peter says, then not only wash my feet, like wash my whole body. That was Peter. I'm sorry, man. Just like, I could just see him like trying to get naked right there going, just wash me. And Jesus is like, that's not necessary. But check this out. In John chapter 13, he goes on to say this. He says, if I then the Lord and the teacher wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. In other words, Jesus said, the greatness that you aspire to have is going to be found not in you prancing around like you're the greatest in the room, but it's actually taking the form of the lowest position in the room and you becoming the servant. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, If you want to really, in the next verse there, in verse 17, it says, you will be blessed if you do this. You know, the word blessed there, Pastor Ron has talked about this before. This is to be satisfied. This is to be fully content and at peace with your life. Some of you tonight, you would give everything to be fully content and peace and have complete peace in your life. And what Jesus is espousing here is something completely countercultural to what we're living right now. He's saying, if you want to be blessed, if you want to walk in that contentment and that fullness of peace, then it's going to be found in you taking the form of a servant. And that's how you're going to be fully satisfied with this life. It's interesting to me that if you were to ask a typical teenager, like, what they espouse to be or what they want to be when they get older, 54% will say that they want to be a celebrity. They want to become famous. They want to go on YouTube and be the next big star. And that's really where our culture is at, is we want to promote ourselves. But what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God is completely the opposite. That if you want to become great and if you want to be satisfied in this life, it's not going to be found in the celebrity status, but it's going to be found in not just doing things that a servant does, but actually be a servant as a lifestyle. That's what he's espousing. So as we look at this, I want to take you to Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, this is Jesus saying, I want to be an example for how you ought to live. So Jesus isn't just your Savior and your ticket to heaven, but he's your example for how to live the abundant life, a life that is overflowing. He's saying, if you want that, then look at my life and use my life as an example. Now, Paul writes this in Galatians chapter 5. He says, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, what does that say, church? It says, serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, you need to understand that you've been called to freedom. And one of the biggest vices that will keep you from being a servant that God has called you to be is when you're walking in bondage to some form of sin in your life. Some kind of a hurt that is completely stripping you of the peace that God wants you living in. Some kind of hang up that you just can't seem to shake out of your life. Some kind of a habit that you just keep running back to. See, the hurts, habits, and hang-ups in your life are keeping you from experiencing the true freedom that Christ died in order for you to live. He called you and filled you with his spirit so that you can beat anything that wants to hold you in bondage. He ripped the chains off of you so that you can not just experience freedom from that sin, but that you can experience the abundant life and be able to serve other people. And it's going to be hard for you to serve other people when your hands are caught up and bound up in things that God has set you free from. And we talk a lot about addiction, but I want to talk a little bit more and dig a little bit more into those hurts. Because some of you are addicted to going back and going through all of these hurts that your mom or your dad or your upbringing gave you. And I don't want to minimize anything that you've been victimized on. I don't want to just kind of dismiss and say, I'll get over it, because I know some of those things have been very traumatic. But the more that you replay those things, just know the more bondage you're experiencing in your life and the less you're going to be able to be free to serve people and do what God has called you to do with your life. He says he's called you. You are his masterpiece for good works. That's it. He's created you and formed you to be his masterpiece for good works. Now, there's so many different ways that we can serve one another. But I think the bottom line is understanding that serving is not something you do. Serving is someone that you are. And I just want you to turn to your neighbor right now and say, I'm a servant of God. Just declare it to him. I'm a servant of God. Tell the person on the other side of you, I'm a servant of God. You see, if you define yourself that you're a servant and that's who you are, not what you do, whenever you come into any space, you're coming in saying, I'm a servant, period. So when I'm at home, I'm a servant. When I'm with my family, I'm a servant. See, somehow, I don't know why, but somehow the people that we have the hardest time serving are the ones that we say that we love the most. It seems backwards, doesn't it? Isn't it weird that it can be so much easier serving a stranger in distress than it is to serve our own spouses? Say, I will serve him when he does something for me. I don't know what it is with family, but for some reason with family, we put conditions on them. I'll serve them if. But see, when you understand that you are a servant of God, there's never a condition that you shouldn't be a servant. There's never a condition. Well, they weren't very nice to me. It doesn't matter. You're still a servant. And maybe by you serving them, even though they weren't nice to you, maybe they'll feel really bad and you know, they'll come back and apologize or do whatever. But they'll take advantage of me. You know what? They took advantage of Jesus too, but you know what? In the end, Jesus won and everybody else lost. So are you saying I should be a doormat and let people treat me? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that we need to stop putting conditions on when we serve and when we don't serve, because you are a servant of God, period. Quit putting a comma where there's a period, right? You're a servant. And let me tell you, a lot of marriages are in trouble because we forgot how to serve our spouses. If you go back and you think about when you were dating your spouse before you got married, and I'm speaking to the married folks right now. This is a little pre-couples retreat talk right here, all right? If you go back, you remember the things that you did, the little things. And it's like we get so comfortable with each other, you know, we just kind of stop trying to woo each other. And we stop saying, okay, I've got her, you know, I've got him, you know, I don't have to smell nice anymore. I don't have to, you know, comb my hair anymore, you know. I can let them know that I have bodily noises they had no idea I had, you know, and, you know, I can let them know I'm not really good at, you know, cleaning up after myself. You know, it's just, we have to realize that a good marriage, a good relationship, this isn't just for marriages, this is like parents to kids, kids to parents, cousins, any family members whatsoever, that a good relationship is founded on you being a servant to the other member. That's what it is. It's going to cultivate a servanthood within the relationship, because we naturally want to serve people that serve us. It's just a natural thing that happens in most people, not all people, but in most people. And so I just want to just say that you're a servant when you go into your home. You're a servant when you go to work. Say, but I'm the CEO, I'm the owner, I run, they all work for me. Not really, according to Jesus's, according to his org chart, the boss is on the bottom. Think about that. That the boss is actually the one serving the employees. So even if you're a boss, you're not immune to being a servant in that space. You're still a servant. Maybe you serve differently, but some of the most successful Fortune 500 companies are run by servant leaders. People that recognize that even though these people work for me, I work for them as they work for me. I'm speaking to some owners here. Don't let it go to your head that you signed the paycheck and remind your God, I signed your paycheck. You know what? It's God that gives you the company to give you the paycheck. Don't ever forget that. And just know that those are God's kids. And so just know that your boss, his kids work for you. So you better be careful, because that income may go away. Just saying. But you go into a workspace and you just know you're a servant in that workspace. I don't know what it looks like for your job, but it could be like bringing in bagels or coffee. It could be helping that coworker out that knows that, you know, they're in trouble, they have a deadline. You know you have to go home to your family, but you call your wife or your husband and say, babe, give me 30 minutes. I know dinner's ready. I know the kids are ready, but hey, I want to help this person out. They're in a jam and I'm here to serve them. I'm telling you, you are so wanting people in your life to come to Christ, then I'm telling you, the most effective way for you to convince people that God is real is when you step out of yourself and help somebody else that is in need. They're going to start listening to you. They're going to listen to what you have to say. So you go to work and you're a servant. I know maybe you go to school, same thing. You got students there that have needs in their life, and you just have to pray and say, God, how can I serve in the space at school? In the church, when you show up to church, you're a servant of God. And so any space that you walk into, the first question you should ask yourself as a servant of God is, how can I serve? Amen. Now, when you come to church, you just need to understand this, and I know you like to come to church and you get fed, obviously, and your spirit gets rejuvenated and God just restores you and builds you up. But here, let me tell you something. It takes 200 to 300 volunteers every time we gather for a service like this to make it happen. Do you know that? 200 to 300 people. They're out there right now with your kids. They're out there right now in the lobby making sure that we're safe. They're out in our youth ministry, our youth department, helping our teenagers. They're in the back room taking care of all the technology to make sure this message goes out worldwide. 200 to 300 people to go ahead and run a service like this. Now here's what my mama taught me, and I don't know if your mama or your daddy taught you this when you were growing up, but when you were part of the house, you had chores. My mama, she went to work at 5 a.m., but I tell you, she took 10 minutes and she wrote our chores, our daily chores. And she hand wrote them, and we had to make sure that we did our chores. Why? Because we realized that we all had to give in order to make our home livable and comfortable and peaceful. So we went into this thing knowing that, hey, this is our home and we all contribute. We have to learn, church, that church, this body of believers, we're not consumers, but we're contributors. We're not just people that are just showing that we belong. This is our home, and we should say, how can I serve my home? What can I do? Can I go out there? I have a passion for kids. I need to sign up, and I need to do kids ministry. I mean, if you are new, then hey, continue to come. Continue to let God restore you. But I'm talking to some of you that have been here for years. and you're still sitting there, and you're just like, you come and say, well, I write my tithe check. Hey, this isn't about you giving your tithe. This is about you saying, hey, I want to contribute. I want to be a servant of God for the place that I gather, because I know that it's going to help this place out. That the more servants that step up and volunteer, the greater things that we're going to be able to accomplish for the kingdom of God as a church. That there are ministries right now that are sitting on ice because people are refusing to step into the church space and proclaim that they are a servant of God. There are ministries that God is wanting to birth in our church, but it's going to take you coming into this space and saying, how can I serve the church? How can I serve my community? How can I serve my city? Now, it's commendable that we had 1,000 people come out for our serve day a couple of weeks ago. I mean, that is just so cool. That for one day, we transformed Bakersfield and we let Bakersfield know that we love God so much that we want to show him by serving other people. I think that's beautiful. But we should not limit serving our community to 2 days out of 365 days. That every time you step out of your front door and you go in your neighborhood, or you're going in the streets of Bakersfield, right? I feel a song coming on right now. When you step out, that you have to understand, I'm a servant of God in my community. That means that wherever you go, whatever you're doing, you're going to cross paths with people that God may have a divine appointment for you. And if you are so stuck in your own mind of your own things, of indulging your flesh, and you got these hurts, habits, and hangups that are just filling your mind, your mind is not going to be free to notice the people in your community that desperately need somebody like you, a servant of God, to step up and serve them. And by serving them, you possibly may be opening the door for somebody's salvation. Hey, I heard this years ago, and it really needs to be put on the screen for you guys. But here's how you know how to serve the community. Find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. So when you walk out your front door, it would do you so good just to take a minute, 60 seconds, and say, God, before I drive my car, before I walk down to the bus station, wherever I go, my bike or whatever, God, you give me your eyes right now to see the needs that are around me, because I'm a servant of God, and today I know you desire to use me as a servant for my community. It doesn't take a lot. It could be an encouraging word for somebody that desperately is just hopeless. Maybe they got in a big fight with their spouse and they're thinking about ending their life. Just, you know, you think of your own thought, some of the dark thought bubbles that you've had in your own life. Think about all the people around our city that are just going through it, and they don't have the hope of heaven. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. That darkness is so dark, they are thinking some very, very bad thoughts. And here you come as a servant of God to say, hey, you get that little nudge from the Spirit, say, hey, talk to them. It could be just a prayer. It could be, I have Bible verse cards I carry in my pocket, and I'll give them out and say, hey, this is for you. And I just give them away knowing that God is going to use that card. I gave a card to a lady the other day, and immediately she starts crying. I don't know what she's going through, but I felt the nudge by the Spirit to say, give her that card. But God knew what she was going through, and I'm just a vessel. I'm just a servant. And when I went in that space, I said, I'm a servant of God. So use me, God, as your servant to bless this lady. I was in a coffee shop in Thousand Oaks, and I'm sitting there having coffee with a buddy, and I brought 2 gift cards in with me to this coffee shop. And I felt the Holy Spirit, before I even started meeting with this guy, tell me that there's going to be 2 college students from Cal Lutheran that were going to come in to that place, and I was supposed to bless them with that card. And so these 2 girls come in right as we're getting done with our coffee time, and I look over and I say, hey, excuse me, girls. Hey, I want to give you these gift cards. And they're like, what? And I go, yeah, we just want to bless you. We know that our community's had a hard time. And I just felt that God wants you guys to have these, just encourage you, to give you a little smile from heaven. And one of the girls starts crying. And she's like, you have no idea, like, what a bad day I've had. And this totally blesses me. And both of them are excited. They went on Instagram and go, look what we got. And it was just like, wow. How simple was it? It didn't cost me very much. It was a gift card that I went into a space and said, I'm a servant of God here. I'm never off duty. So when I'm in a coffee shop having coffee with a friend, I'm still on duty as a servant of God, and I have to pay attention to everything around me because there may be a God moment of me raising up to be the servant that he's called me to be. Are you a servant of God? Are you a servant of God? This is what Jesus wants us to be about. Because here's the reality. In Matthew chapter 25, before I go there, my wife posted this, and a lot of you guys haven't even ever met my wife, but she's beautiful, and I love her, all right? But she posted this. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always. Isn't that true? Like right now, you may be going through a battle, and the person next to you has no idea, and you came in, and you said, God bless you. You're like, I just hate my life right now, but I'm not going to tell you. Am I speaking truth? You don't know the battles that people are facing. So when you go into the community, just know that everyone's battling something, and God has raised you up to be a servant to help them in their battle. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 25. So in this chapter, Jesus is giving this parable about the talents, but then he shifts gears and he starts talking about how in the end, God will separate the sheep from the goats. Not goat as in greatest of all time, right? The posers from the real people. Like in the end, Jesus is going to divide the people that really love God from the people that said they love God but really didn't live it out. The sheep from the goats. And it goes on here, and it says that the people that were genuine, the people that he knew were the real deal, were the ones that did these things, that visited the sick and those that are in prison and gave water and food to those that were in need. And in this parable, the people are rewarded for what they did. And he said, and the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did to the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. They're like, when did we help you do all of this? He said, anytime you served the least of these, you actually were serving me. So when you think I'm serving other people, what God is declaring to us tonight is you are actually serving God when you go out of your way and you serve other people. Because here's the reality that our lives are going to end one day and we're going to stand before this God. Yep. And he's going to say, what did you do with the life that I've given you? And this is more than just like, hey, I received your son and he forgave me of my sins, so I'm in, right? It's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I've got rewards for you, son. I got rewards for you, daughter. But I've got to know that you were faithful as a servant. Because remember, I came inside of you and I was your savior and I was your Lord. And what did you do with that? And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, or verse 23, the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Well done. He says, I gave you these talents. You invested them. You used them the way I wanted you to use them. You made more out of it, so well done. I decided years ago that I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm going to live for God. Why? Because I'm not living for the next big thing in this world. I'm living for that moment where I'm going to stand before God and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And let me tell you, that's the best way to live your life. Is when you make a decision to say, I'm not living for me anymore. I'm living for that moment where I hear the Lord say, well done. I'm living for the well done. So if you want to have a great moment with God, when it's your time to stand before Him, the best way to receive your well done is to be a faithful servant of God. That means that whenever you go into any space that you're at, you recognize that serving isn't something that you do. Serving is someone that you are. You're a servant of God. And as you serve more, you will naturally self less. And that, my friends, is the road to a complete, fulfilled life and a life to the fullest. I'm telling you. Be a child of God. Follow Jesus in your life. Be that servant of God that He's called you to be. I know it's not going to make all your troubles go away, but I'm telling you, it's going to revolutionize the experience that you have in this life. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much just for Your ways of showing us that maybe we've been too obsessed with our own lives and our own situations that we've forgotten who we are. We've lost our identity. That we're not only a child of God, we're a servant of God. And help us, God, recognize that whatever space we come into, whether it's our homes, whether it's our jobs, whether it's our church, or even in our community, God, show us right now. Let Your Holy Spirit reveal to us how we can become a better servant in each of those spaces. Maybe for our home, God, maybe we need to go home and repent to our spouses. Maybe even we need to pick up the phone and call our parents. Say, you know what? I haven't been serving You like I should be serving You. God, for us, some of us, when we go to work tomorrow, God, give us those nudges of ways that we can kind of redeem ourselves as a servant at work or in the classroom at school. Lord, show us right now a ministry that You would want us serving in right here at home, at our church, at these gatherings. Lord, I believe there are some warriors sitting on the sideline that You're desperately longing to get into the game. I pray, God, that there would be a fresh anointing and revelation to show some people in this room where they need to serve, where You're calling them to serve. Confirm it to them this week that You're calling them to get in the game. Lord, show us tomorrow when we go into the community, wherever we go. Lord, give us Your eyes to see the needs and to see the hurts so that we can fill them, so we can heal them, and we can be the true servants You've called us to be. And God, for those people that are here tonight that are far from You, Holy Spirit, reveal Yourself to these people. Right now, while everyone's praying and you're talking to God about those ways that He's already challenging you and inspiring you to step it up as a servant of God, I want to talk to some of you tonight that you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe tonight a friend invited you. Maybe you saw something online. You're like, I need to go to church. And you don't even know how you ended up here, but here you are. Let me tell you, God is calling you to His kingdom. And the only way that you can be a part of God's kingdom is that you surrender your life to Jesus and let His Spirit fill you. Because here's the amazing thing about Jesus. Following Jesus is going to make your life better, and following Jesus is going to make you better at life. Some of you, that's the missing component, is fully surrendering to Jesus and living the life that Jesus has called you to live, where you put others before yourself and you let God reign over everything in your life. And if you're here tonight and you know you need to make this decision to surrender your life to God, to ask His Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you, would you do me a favor, right where you're sitting, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me tonight? I know that's what I need to do. I know that's why I showed up here tonight. God bless you guys. If you're online and you just feel like this message is for you and you want to give your life to God, we want to pray for you too. Let us know that you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, and we will follow up with you. Email us if you're watching this through the live stream. But if you're on Facebook, let us know right now and we'll connect with you. But if you're here right now and say, I want to follow Jesus, just raise your hand up. You that raise your hand, I want you to pray this simple prayer after me. The rest of the church, let's pray with them as well. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Jesus, tonight I give you my life. Thank you for dying for my sin and resurrecting from the dead so that not only I could go to heaven when I die, but so that heaven can come to me while I live. I need you, Jesus. I need your Holy Spirit. Fill me. Complete me. And let me walk as not only a child of God, but as a servant of God as well. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you need prayer for whatever reason, we got a prayer team that would love to pray for you before you leave. But God bless you guys, and we'll see you here, there, in the air.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King, give us our love.